Get Stephen Brunt coming up in a moment. Red is outside barbecuing. The guys driving the sea trains are giving him the thumbs up, honking the horn. Homeless guy with his shopping cart is chirping him for having too much smoke coming out. And I've never seen Red happier. He just needs a beer or a whiskey and he'd be set. Guys are taking pictures with him. Let's get to Stephen Brunt. Somebody texted in this morning, Stephen, that they enjoy the show because they just never know what's going to happen. It's a different adventure every day. And today I can tell you, for those just tuning in, I am obviously sick. Pinder is at his stag in Tokyo, and Warner is on the sidewalk cooking sausage.
I'm not sure which of those three things is the most remarkable, but yeah. I think your illness may be at the bottom of the list there.
Yeah, it's really... ordinarily be like, wow, listen to Boom, but right now it's like, what is happening around there? Yeah, Pinder...
Well, stag in Tokyo, I think you have to... So is that his stag?
It's his stag, yeah.
And so, and he... Is it, like, Tokyo is a stag destination.
I don't understand. No one really does.
No one understands? Okay, it's not just me?
But yet, it's... Of course, it's purely Pinder, because of course he would go to Tokyo for a stag.
Yes.
It's like, we could go to Banff, maybe we'll go to Vancouver, go watch a ball game, or we could go to Tokyo.
We go to Lethbridge, a stag's a stag.
That's right. Like, they flew to Tokyo after the show yesterday. They're up right now sending pictures of us, giving us the finger and showing us all kinds of stuff. And they come home in like 2 days.
Well... So the drunkenness and the jet lag will just merge.
Yeah, stupid is as stupid does.
Red barbecuing makes a considerable amount of sense, especially on the cusp of a long weekend and all. So.
Well, and the other part is, after the show today, he's done until September.
Oh, this is goodbye, Red Day?
Yeah, and he's not on the air. So his last day, he's actually not even on the radio.
Well, say goodbye to him for me, okay?
Yeah, I will.
It's always a sad day. Yeah. I'll start counting down till the fall.
Yeah. Nothing really in interesting at all going on with the Blue Jays, right? Between Jose Bautista and Pilar and guys blowing their shoulders out, hitting home runs, you name it. Just dull.
Well, I'll tell you, that game last night, I was deep into the Pilar stuff all day here, obviously, and but then seeing the lineup that John Gibbons sent out last night, before the game, I thought, you could have won a lot of money betting that at some point during this baseball season, that would be the Toronto Blue Jays lineup. And it's just, it just looked like a kind of a cry for help, right? Including Siciliani in the leadoff spot, a guy who's hitting 100 and something in AAA, no pop, a complete desperation play. And, plus all of the other guys who were in there because of injuries, plus no Pilar, plus just... I would say it looked like a Triple A lineup. It looked like a bad Triple A lineup with a couple of guys thrown in, with Bautista and Kendrys Morales thrown in. And yet, they go out and win 9-0. I guess baseball is a strange game. But they win 9-0. Siciliani hits a home run, dislocates his shoulder. Luke Maley hits a home run, a guy who's hitting 037, I think, going into the game. And then Marcus Stroman hits a home run. Yeah, that's the one where there was some weird convergence going on. You're looking for the four horsemen of the apocalypse to ride into the station right after that game.
Yeah.
Right after that game.
Yeah. No, I chuckled out loud when I saw the roster. Like you say, it's like, what is this? Unless you're really a diehard, half of that roster, just zero recognition factor.
Well, it's kind of what's left, and this has been there's been a lot of horrible things happen to this team this season. Some of their own doing in the first few weeks when they were just bad. A good team was playing bad and kind of dug itself a hole. But, the injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries, and then, the Pilar incident and the suspension coming off three terrible games against Atlanta, where, everybody looked at the schedule coming in and say, well, those four games against Atlanta, that'll give them a break anyway because Atlanta stinks. And they should, they rolled into there playing the best baseball of the year. Just the emotional tone of that clubhouse going into that game last night, must have been, you kind of wonder, you know, how much doubt was starting to creep back in, how many guys were just looking around and saying, man, we got nothing left here. They gave up 27 runs the previous three games, and yet they pull it out. So, you know, it's tempting to look at seasons and say there's turning points and there's moments when they kind of come together as a team. Mm-hmm. And baseball's not really that kind of game, but you know, again, there's been a lot of false stops and starts this year, so I'm not going to read too much into it. But I would have bet a lot of money that was not going to be the outcome last night.
You mentioned you were on the Pilar stuff most of the day. I guess just a synopsis. Obviously, it's not publicity or not anything that they wanted. Certainly not that he wanted. Your take on it?
Well, it's not. You can't do that, right? And we watched the, you know, anybody who watched the Yunel Escobar thing play out a few years ago with this team, which was one of the low points in franchise history, not just because it happened, but because of how they handled it. You know, because remember he had on his eye black, had kind of charming little homophobic sentiment on his eye that he wrote on his eye black as a joke. And of course, all his teammates saw it. Nobody said anything about it. His manager saw it, claimed that he thought it was an inspirational message in Spanish, which was not true. And you know, the team kind of, and then they put him out there for that famous press conference where Yunel Escobar said that his home decorator and hairdresser were gay. Yeah. So he was not a homophobe. At least they got it right this time in terms of how they handled it. You know, that they got out in front of it. The team, Ross Atkins got to Atlanta quickly. They suspended him. They didn't wait for the league to suspend him. And they kind of acknowledged the problem that that Pilar had created. And it was, you know, in the heat of the moment, but that's not an excuse. It is said in arenas and stadiums and in ballparks by athletes. That's not an excuse. It's said by other people in our lives. That's not an excuse. You know, you can't, it's just, there's no kind of qualifier here. It was a dumb thing to do by a guy who, and again, I don't know Kevin Pilar particularly well. I don't know him as well as I know some of the other guys on this team, but there are a lot of people I know who will vouch for him. So, yeah, I think he lost it in a really emotional game, and he said something dumb, and it was the wrong dumb thing to say in terms of, you know, how hurtful it can be to other people out there and to the community, and yeah, just it's just kind of another. It felt like just kind of ticking another box in what has been a really difficult, frustrating season, which is not over, and they're not done. And we'll see. You know, we'll see. They're going into Baltimore this weekend, so certainly there won't be anything emotional there. You know, because they love the Orioles and Buck Showalter so much.
Yeah, no kidding. And Jose Bautista doing his thing to endear other fans, and then going to Baltimore, where we know he's universally loved.
Well, it's great that there's another place where they really hate Jose Bautista now. Like, I never thought in Atlanta, my experience going to baseball games in Atlanta for the last God knows how many years was that they don't care about anything there, right? It's the most indifferent sports crowd I've ever seen. They just kind of, you know, even when they had great teams year after year after year, they didn't seem to care. But I guess they managed to care in that game. And I'm not sure why he did the bat flip there when you're down 8-3. I'm not really sure why you do that.
Well, you could tell he regretted it by the time he got to home plate.
I think so, maybe. I don't know. You know, Jose's a complicated guy. But the fact that every guy, as he circled the bases, every one of the players on the Braves chirped him as he went around.
Yeah.
That's him.
It just seemed like by the time he got to Suzuki, he was kind of tapping his own chest. It looked like he was kind of saying, you know what, my bad.
But not to go as far in the interview afterwards to say, you know, I'm sorry.
And then couldn't say, my bad, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, you're back.
I'm back.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You know, I heard this was your last day, and you know, for the last day till the fall. You know, so wow. I'm glad you're making an appearance here, and you left the barbecue.
We got it all finished. It's ready to go. It looks pretty good. We wish you were here. I got time to go fishing now, Brunt. If you know,
I'm going this afternoon. You know, I'm my schedule is not dissimilar to yours. You know, in some ways, like my radio schedule, I think I've got 2 days left of radio before the fall.
That's a nice setup. So, I'm going fishing, too.
I have a variety of other things to do. So, I wrote a script for Peter Mansbridge yesterday.
Really?
That was my job yesterday. Yeah, the opening. I guess I'm not supposed to reveal these things, right?
Oh, but shush, yeah.
I think he's doing the opening for the hockey game tonight. So, I had to put words in his mouth.
Why don't you voice it? You're better than he is.
Well, no, yeah, well, yeah, right. But
well, truly,
like,
that's your thing.
He's like the voice of God, though, right? They want... It's so I think it's kind of appropriate.
Mm.
I think people are kind of getting into this whole Ottawa could win thing around here too, which is, you know, maybe that's part of it. You know,
right?
He's the voice of Canada, and Ottawa look, you know, could be our brave standard bearers to win the cup for Canada. How do you feel about that?
They're putting the didn't you read that this morning, Bill, where they're putting the flag on the...
Yeah, the Ottawa Senators announced today they're going to debut tonight with Canadian flags in the back of their helmets.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah. Well, I guess they can.
They're in
it's
Canada.
Going to be interesting to watch. Because I do, you know, again, I don't want to count Pittsburgh out, and I'm not going to count Sidney Crosby out and a bunch of guys on that team who won a cup last year. But I just think they may just not have enough guys left who are healthy, and so Ottawa may well win this. And I certainly didn't see them winning it the way they did the other night, where they just kind of blew them off the ice in the first period. You know,
are you concerned? Pinder's brought it up. Are you concerned about if they do win, the fact that we got away from this trap stuff? And I know last game they scored 4 goals, and that won't happen again. They're going to play a trap system. They're going to try and shut everything down. They're going to slow the game down as much as possible and hope for a bounce. Are you concerned that if they do win, that's going to become a recipe again?
Well, it's going to become a recipe for some teams, right?
Vegas?
It's a way for less talented teams to beat more talented teams, right? If you're a coach, it's a way to kind of mitigate, the results that could get you fired. If I was a coach of a not particularly talented hockey team, and I was trying to keep my head above water, I'd play like that every night. That's why coaches do it. There's no glory in losing an entertaining game 6-2.
Yeah.
Just you don't get any points for that. And from a fan point of view, it's a disaster. From a hockey point of view, I absolutely understand why teams use it. And it kind of surprises me sometimes that more teams still don't do it. I know there are, in some ways they made it a little harder to do with the way the rules have been changed over the last, decade or so. But, if you're coaching the Las Vegas, the Golden Knights next year, you're not going to play fire wagon hockey with a bunch of, plow horses, right?
Nope.
It just doesn't make sense. So you're going to try and keep games close. You're going to lose 3-2. You're going to lose 2-1. And then you're going to win the odd 1-2-1 or win a game in overtime or get the... get the bonus point. I would rather not see a team like that as the last team standing, because that's a different thing. That's about going out and beating the best teams in the spring and getting through 4 rounds that way. That's not great. I don't think that's a great, that's a great precedent, but it's not like we haven't seen it before.
Interesting. Well, and you know what? It's not like they're stubbornly doing it and not having success. I mean, it is working for them. Tonight will be, I was going to say fascinating, unless they are successful at boring us to tears again.
Yeah,
in which case,
1-0,
it won't be like that whatsoever. I know you wanted to talk about Mayweather and McGregor, and we've been skeptical. Are you now buying in?
Well, one side of the deal is done, right? So Dana White and McGregor, they have an agreement. So half of this deal is done.
That's the easy side, isn't it?
And I would agree that is the easy side, because Conor McGregor had to negotiate through Dana White and only through Dana White. He's contractually obligated to deal with the UFC. And his leverage, he has some leverage, but he doesn't have complete, total, unfettered leverage, because he's half the equation, but he's not the biggest half of the equation in terms of money. The other guy's going to be interesting now, though, because Floyd Mayweather's in England this week. He said he's going to do it. But, he is negotiating from a position of strength, understanding that the other guy's already locked in, understanding that everybody wants to make money on this thing and everybody's kind of agreed to do it. If you're the other side of that equation, that's a great position to negotiate in, especially if you're him. So he will ask for the moon, the sun, and the stars. And he will probably settle for the moon and the sun by the time it's done. But it's got to be, they're going to have to come up with a huge number for him. He'll get by far the bigger slice of the pie, and he will make them bow and scrape. I think it'll get done, because I think it's easy money, right? The bottom line for him is he's retired. I guess he's got lots of money, although, he's famously likes to show people how much he spends. But why would you not do this? Why would you not do it if you think it's a walk in the park and you're going to get paid, $100 million?
Well, would that be your estimate?
I don't know. I'm trying, and sometimes those numbers, when we hear them, they're not real numbers. You they just throw it out there and say, oh, he's getting, you know, the guy's going to get paid $50 million. Well, you know, it's kind of, you got to see where the pay-per-view goes and everything, but I think it's possible, you know? Like, again, I think it's a pay-per-view attraction as much as I can come on and a million other guys will come on and say, you know, I don't think it's going to be much of a fight. That doesn't really matter.
Oh, I'm buying it.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so all the UFC crowd are going to buy it because they want to see their guy. All the boxing crowd are going to buy it because they want to see a boxer beat a UFC guy. The hype will be unbelievable. Those two guys, the press conferences will be the best part.
No kidding.
Who's calling it?
That's a really good question, right? Who would actually, would it be a boxing crew or would it be the UFC guys? That's a really good question because it's rather different styles.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Rogan versus
Larry Merchant
or Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but yeah, I think it'll be a kind of a circus in every way, and you know, Lord knows what they'll put on the undercard. Like, again, I think this is closer to Ali and Antonio Inoki than it is to Mayweather Pacquiao, but I guess people bought to watch Ali and Inoki. Apparently, I don't remember it, but apparently they did.
Well, have a fine long weekend. Do you want some sausage? Rhett cooked up some sausage.
If you could, yes, air freight that to me right now. I'm sure it'll be even better by the time it gets here.
Yeah, he didn't short us. He brought in a whole bunch of sausage, and now we're.
What time do you guys get off air now? You got a little ways to go. A couple hours, 2.5 hours. Is that right?
No, we're off at 9, so hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Okay. Yeah. So, and you got plans for the rest of the day?
I'm going fishing, buddy.
Good man.
Northern Sask.
That's what I like. We're going for pike or what?
Yeah.
Big pike?
Yeah. The lake we're going to doesn't, not huge, huge pike, but nice size pike.
I'm going pike fishing in a couple of weeks. I've never done it on a fly rod, so
we will love it.
We will compare notes.
Yeah. We are knee deep in meat.
Knee deep in meat.
Have a good weekend.